every time I forget to turn it on. There we go. Good morning. Thank you for being here today. And for those of you that are visiting, we really appreciate the fact that you're here. This class this morning, we're divided up in classes, and I want to do this kind of a participatory way as well. We're talking about child training. And what we started yesterday talking about, after we talked about early child training, we started talking about mistakes that we can make as parents. And if we're parents, what have we made? We've made mistakes. God has also made children surprisingly resilient. And so what we want to look at is we want to look at principles, especially from the book of Proverbs, look at what we're doing, think about what we're doing, and see where we can better serve our children and enjoy those blessings that God gave to us. As a reminder, in case you weren't here, let's just touch on a few of the things that we covered yesterday. One was the failure to discipline. And you see people who do that. They don't discipline and train their children, and their children end up being insecure. They end up being unhappy. They end up sometimes being miserable people, making other people miserable. Children need training. God created them so that when these beautiful little babies are born, they're dependent upon us for years and years and years. And we need to use that time to train them. We talked about the mistake of rewarding misbehavior. They throw a tantrum. We give them what they want. What have we just guaranteed? That's right. That's right. They figure it out better than we figure it out sometimes. We talked about expecting misbehavior, where we kind of throw in the towel and we end up deciding, well, this one's not going to tell me the truth. This one's not going to be kind. This one's not going to do that. And if we've got little children, now there's a point at which, you remember the verse that said, discipline them while there is hope. As they get older and older, they will be responsible for their choices and decisions, and they can choose to mold themselves after what God wants them to be. But there comes a point where what mom and dad is saying is not having the impact that it would when they were little. But while they're little, we have that opportunity. So if we look at our little ones and they're not being what we want them to be, whose fault is that? Yeah, that's my job. It's my job to train them away from that and those type of things. So, and then we talked about being in control. Because if we lose control, if we're not treating our children right, and of course there's abusive parents, which is a horrible thing, we've got to be in control. And we ended yesterday talking about calm, you know, calm, consistent, and in control. I remembered it was three C's and I forgot one. Thanks, John. All right, so we're going to pick up this morning with the mistake of training them to disrespect instructions given calmly. Anybody want to describe what that means? Training them to disrespect instructions given calmly. Nobody would intentionally do that. But can you see what that's referring to? What's that referring to? Right. Unless you're yelling, it doesn't mean anything. So we're going to paint a scenario here. Here's mom. Here's her son. Somebody give me a name for this boy. Homer. Okay, I like that. So here's Homer. Homer is, he's sitting there playing a video game, which I would not highly recommend. Some video games, sometime, not a big problem, but we got way too many people addicted to just electronics now. But Homer, he loves his video game. And he's sitting there playing his video game. Mom knows that it's coming up on bedtime. He's got a test tomorrow. It's going to be a busy day. He needs to get to bed. Mom comes in and says, Homer, you need to get up and go to bed. Homer is on level 7, hoping to get to level 8. And so what does he do when mom says go to bed? He goes, okay. A few minutes later, Homer, you need to go to bed. You know, you've got school tomorrow. Okay, just a minute. A few minutes later, she comes back in here. Homer, I mean it. You've got to put the game down, and you've got to get to bed. Right. Just a minute. And this continues for several more minutes. You got to go to bed, Homer. Okay, I'm almost done. And he's not paying any attention to mom. Why? Yeah, and she hasn't trained him to. Now, she ends up, after a while, talking to him several times, getting more and more frustrated. Then she gets a phone call, and she's tied up for 40 minutes. She gets off the phone. It's like an hour, hour and a half past his bedtime. She walks in, and where's Homer? Right. And so now, what does mom do? Homer, you get up right now. You put that remote down, and you get to bed. And what does Homer do? Sorry, children. Yeah, Homer does it. And then she goes, why? What's her question? Why do I always have to yell? Well, let's look at it from Homer's point of view. Why does she have to yell? Right. That's the only time he has to do it. He has been trained. He has been trained to disrespect her instructions given in a calm voice. Until she's yelling, she doesn't mean it. So unintentionally, she has trained him. Have you ever noticed, like, people, you can have a pet that's really well trained or really, you know, if you've got a dog that you let jump up on the table and eat out of your soup bowl, what's he going to do? Yeah, he's going to do it. I was at a sportsman show last year with a couple of my boys, and there was this guy. It was incredible what he could do with these dogs. I mean, he had birds, he had dogs and stuff, and he would put a bird out there, and they would not kill the bird. It's his bird. He would not kill or hurt the bird, but they wouldn't go get the bird until he told them to. Then they would get it. They would bring it to him, and it was just he could take a ball or something and throw it. And those dogs do not move until he tells them they can go. And off they go, like a dog's going to do. And if he blows a whistle or tells them to stop, boom. They stopped. And then when you let them go, boom. And of course, then the dogs are rewarded. They get a lot of attention, but they're really well trained. And afterwards, I was talking to him. I said, you know, because some people train their dogs more than they train their children. And I was talking about a lot of the principals are that way with kids, too. He said, oh, no. He said, like, we'll go out to a restaurant, and people come up and they say, your kids are so well-behaved. How do you do that? And he said, I treat them like dogs. But you know what he meant. It's not that he treats them badly, but he trains his sporting dog, and he also trains his children. Now, what should mom do? Here's mom. She's been doing this for a long time. Should mom just throw in the towel and say, well, that's the way it's going to be? It's no good. No, she needs to change things. How can she change things? What are some proverbs? What are some principles and proverbs that she needs to remember? Yeah, the rod drives foolishness out of a child. The rod and reproof, both of them together, bring wisdom.
The electrical cord can be disconnected before the video game goes off. Proverbs 28:2.
Very, very good. Yeah, sometimes what needs to happen is they don't get privileges until they learn to do their responsibilities. That's a very important concept. And also,
it seems fair, though, if you're talking to a teenager, to let him know that you're changing the status quo.
Yes.
If you all of a sudden just yank the cord without telling him, from now on, this is how we need to be doing it.
Yes.
It seems not fair to him.
Yes. There needs to be a discussion and, you know, explain that there's going to be a game change here. And so I would suggest that she starts off and talks to Homer, and I would recommend apologizing to him. Now, some people don't apologize to their kids. If we don't apologize to our kids, does that convince them that mom and dad are perfect? No. So I would recommend apologizing. So maybe she sits down and she says, Homer, I said, I want to apologize to you. I've been handling something badly. I said, do you like it when I yell and scream at you? And Homer's going to say, no. And so she said, Homer, I'm going to make it my goal to stop yelling and screaming at you. And I'm sorry that I've gotten into that habit. Now, that's my job, to stop yelling and screaming. But there's another side to that. From now on, I'm going to tell you what to do in a calm voice, but it's your job to do it. And if you don't, then there's going to be some rod and reproof, and you're going to be punished. And your privileges will be taken away from you. If you do what I say, then everything's good. I'm not yelling and screaming. You don't have to listen to me yelling and screaming. And I tell you what to do, and you do it. And so I'm going to quit yelling. In the quit yelling and screaming part, Homer's like, cool. You know, but the other part, how many of you think that Homer, although she's explained it pretty clearly, how many think of you that Homer habitually is on board now? And tonight when she says, Homer, get up and go to bed, he's going to say, yes, ma'am. Is that going to happen? No. Why not? That's right. He's been trained to disrespect instructions given calmly, and it's going to take some time and some work to train him the other way. You know, if I've got a dog that jumps up on the table and eats out of my soup bowl, I can't say to the dog, okay, here's how it's going to happen, and expect the next day that, you know, it's a well-trained dog. So Homer has heard it. Homer does not believe it. Okay. So next night, and Bertina made this point, it's also good sometimes to give somebody a heads up if they're in the middle of something, you know, let them know. So maybe she comes in, she says, Homer, in about 5 minutes, it's going to be time to go to bed. So you need to be winding up. He's like, uh-huh. She comes in later, she says, okay, Homer, you need to get up and go to bed. Okay, just a minute. Hey, what's happening? Come here. What? You remember the talk we had? Oh, yeah. It's like, and she says, and now she's going to sit down, she's going to calmly talk to him. And she's going to say, I'm not going to yell and scream at you. That's not what I need to do. But did I warn you you were going to have to go to bed soon? Do you know what your bedtime is? Did I tell you to get up? What should you have done? You know, talk through it with him, help him understand. But you didn't, so now you're going to be punished. And if he's a younger boy, so he's going to get the spanking. If he's older, he may get, you know, privileges denied or both, depending on, you know, the situation. But he's got to be punished. So after Homer goes to bed, say, with sore backside, the next night she's going to say it. And guess what? Don't be surprised if he's like, okay, just a minute. And it's repeated. But as she keeps being consistent, and as he learns that the lottery is closed down and it doesn't pay out anymore, what's going to soon happen? Yeah, she's going to say, Homer, you need to get up and go to bed now. And he's going to say, yes, ma'am. And he goes to bed because now she's trained him. So it's our choice. If we choose to, we can have a home where our children never obey. If we choose, we can have a home where they obey only after you scream, or only we say it after we've said it over and over and over. Or we can have a home where they obey the first time they're told, without nagging, without yelling. Which kind of home is going to be better for our kids? By the way, bonus points, which kind of home is going to be better for us? Now, that's not the main thing. That's a real nice benefit, but that's not the main thing. Yes, it's going to be easier on us. Yes, it's going to be pleasant for us. Yes, it's going to make it more enjoyable for us. But we're not training our children so that, you know, we get all the bonuses. We're training our children because God gave us a job to train them. And they need to learn to respect authority. Where are some other places they're going to need to respect authority after they're out from underneath our roof? Yeah. With their boss. Where else? Government. Yeah. Paying taxes, laws, different things. School. And God Almighty. So this... Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. And so then the people learn parenting from their parents. And so then they will have learned that skill to take into their home as they're raising their children, which means then your grandchildren. One of my goals in life, I want what my dad has, okay? When he gets together at Thanksgiving with all of his grandchildren, he respects and is proud. He enjoys all of his grandchildren. I want that. I want you to think about, for just a minute, if you have there was a father in the Old Testament that had a big impact on his descendants. His name, he was the father of, it's in Jeremiah, is it the Rechabites? Anybody? And what was his name? Was it Jonadab? It's slipping my mind now. But he had really influenced his family, apparently for a few generations. And if you stop and think about this, you take a little pad of paper with several sheets on it. If you take a ballpoint pen and you write on the first page, everybody can see what you've written. If you write firmly, even after that first page is gone, what do you see on the second page? If you've written really, if you've really made a deep impression, what do you see on the third page? Fourth page. Now, as you go through the pages, it starts to what? As is appropriate, you know, it's our influence is going to become less and less because there's other people involved. There's in-laws and other, you know, and other people. But if they're choosing wisely, even after our influence fades, if other people are loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind and loving their neighbors or self, other generations are what? Creating new impressions on there. But we want that. And so the training is just really important. All right, any comments or questions on that before we go to the next slide? Yeah.
Well, that's not magical. That's that influence that you're talking about.
Those influences are huge.
When our children choose mates.
Yes.
It's really good if you get to know their parents and to how they were raised, because two people who come together with totally different ideas, child rearing, are going to really have some challenges.
And if the two people that come together are only coming together because they found each other physically attractive, it won't be many months or years till they do not find each other attractive. Not because they look different, but because you just have the breakdown. There needs to be something deeper there. Nothing wrong with being physically attracted to your spouse. That's a good thing. But a marriage needs more than that alone. All right. Let's
I didn't hear the other ones yesterday, but what's true of seven is probably true of a lot of these. I had to make that same apology multiple times.
Yes.
Just committing to it one time, I get caught up in things, I'm not introspective, and I find myself back in the old patterns myself. I can hardly blame my children for doing it, but I'm doing it as well.
Yeah, I've apologized to my children numerous times. And it's not like they didn't notice, you know, when I blew something. So, but there's, and of course we want to aim to do it right where we don't need to apologize. But when we mess up, which as parents we're going to do, there's also a benefit of when we apologize to them, because that also models something. It shows that you take responsibility for your actions, admit when you're wrong instead of being defensive, and you apologize. And then that helps them learn to be able to do that too. And they need to be able to do that. And if mom and dad never do it, What are the chances that they're going to learn it? Yeah. I think that is exactly. And when the child has disobeyed, and they're like, one mistake parents made is, okay, you did that, and you're going to be punished. And they're given a spanking, and they're sent to their room, and the parent thinks, we're done. You know, I punished them. Well, if their heart wasn't touched, the job isn't done. So he needs to, if he sassed mom, he needs to get the spanking and apologize to mom for sassing mom. That's a very good point. If he has treated his sister badly or she has treated her brother badly, she needs to apologize to the brother. If they've been being rude at the dinner table, they need to apologize to the people at the dinner table. So they're going to be punished. And I'll often with my kids, I'll say, you know, do you want to get your spanking first? You want to give your apology first? And I'll let them choose. And when they were little, by the way, this is a little thing. It's not something you have to do it this way. This is a personal way I found is sometimes effective. I like them to buy into it and to invest into it some. So sometimes I would give them a choice. Like when they're little and they only need a spanking on the hand or something, I would say, the conversation would go a little bit like this. I'd say, oh, no, what did mommy say do? Mommy said, don't do it. I said, and what did you do? I did it. And I said, oh, so now what do you have to get? A spanking. I said, that's right. Is daddy mad at you? No. Does daddy love you? Yes. And I'd say, which hand do you want the spanking on? And they would go. And then I'd spank. Now, it doesn't make a dip, but what I'm doing, I'm getting them involved in it. They know it's fair. They're acknowledging it's fair. And then they have to go tell mommy, I'm sorry, mommy. And then mommy gives them a hug. And now that's okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, let's not do that again. You know, I love you. And then he goes away. And now what? He's made his apology. He's been forgiven. Everything's good. But if we just spank him and send him to his room, he's sitting there in his room feeling what? Yeah. It wasn't fair. I'm always in trouble. I'm always getting spanked. I can't wait till I'm out of this house. Blah, blah, blah. So the rod and reproof bring wisdom. And apologies and forgiveness and the hugs. Those type of things are important. Very good. All right. Number 8, the mistake of fathers provoking, discouraging children to wrath. Mothers can do this too, but notice it's fathers that Paul mentions both times when he says it. Let's read these passages. Somebody please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and somebody please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Whoever's got Ephesians 6, please read for us verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. And then somebody be ready, please, with Colossians 3, verse 21. Ephesians 6, 4, please. Who's got it?
I got Colossians.
Okay. Well, let's go with either one.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
So while we're to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, we're to be careful that we're not provoking them to anger. And Colossians? Okay, when they see that we love them, that helps. When they see we're being fair, that helps. When they see that we've got confidence in them that they can do the right thing, that helps. What are some things that we can do that end up exasperating our children, causing them to lose heart, provoking them to anger?
Moving boundaries. They never know where the boundary is.
Yes. Yes, yes. And by the way, a lot of the comments here, we did not pre-plan this, but this is just obvious principles from there. In fact, we've got up here, I think it's in there. Nope, I thought it was in there, but I was going to use the illustration about cattle. You know, you've got cattle, I've understood from people, and here in Texas I ought to be able to be told if this is true or not, after a while you can turn off the electric fence because they've just learned. Okay. But I want you to imagine you're a cow and you're in a field and there's an electric fence, and so you've learned you don't want to touch that. So here in the middle of the pasture, everything's fine. You can be munching on this clover. Everything's... Now imagine you're in a pasture where that electric fence moves. One day it's here, one day it's there, and it moves quickly. And you can be munching on some clover. Where's the fence? Okay, I'm good. Zoom, bam, ow! That would not make for a contented cow, because the boundaries are moving. You don't know where they're coming from. And a lot of kids grow up in a house like that. Dad comes home in a good mood, and guess what? He's disrespectful to mom, he sasses her, and dad thinks it's funny, and he laughs about it. Next day, dad comes home in a bad mood. He spills his milk, and he gets backhanded, you know, just abused out of anger and stuff. What's it going to be like for that child? Yeah. Yeah, there's two types of, like the Bible talks about, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a certain type of fear a boy should have in relationship to his father, but it shouldn't be the fear of not knowing what to expect. It should be a respectful fear of knowing, you know, if I do that, I'm going to get in trouble. You know, some kids say, hey, let's shoplift this. He goes, no, I know what my dad would do to me. Let's do this. No, that's a healthy thing. But where you don't know where the boundaries are, it's unfair. You don't know where you stand. You don't know how to win. You just want what? Yeah, and escape. Yeah, but you're not probably going to escape very well because you're not being given security and self-confidence and discipline and character to be able to go out there with. You don't have those tools. You're going to have to work on those on your own. So the father is not giving what he needs, and he's completely undermining. It's going to be very frustrating. All right, some of these other things up here is some people grow up in a home where the dad gives criticism or nothing. And some people here may have grown up in that home. When you do it right, it's not noticed, or if it is, it's not said. Which, explain that for us. Yeah, that's right. Everything's been okay up till now. And some fathers are like that. They just, but what does get their attention? Any failure. You know, if they're playing Little League ball and they struck out, they're going to hear about that. Came home with a test, did poorly on, they're going to hear about that. You know, room's a mess, they're going to hear about that. Sometimes, you know what those children do? Sometimes those children end up misbehaving on purpose. Why? Attention. That's the only way they can get attention. A friend of mine, one of her children, she doesn't know if he's alive or dead. She hasn't heard from him in years. He got involved in a very, very loose, promiscuous, homosexual lifestyle at a young age. Doesn't know what has happened to him or where he is. But his father rejected him as a child. And he told her when he was attending kind of a reform school and they had guards that would restrain the children when they were being bad, he said, Mom, you know why I act bad at school? So that those men will hold me. It's just sad. That's just sad. Don't let that be. Yes.
I think it's also critical and important that both mom and dad are on the same page.
Yes.
It's critical because sometimes you have moms
Yes. And what will the child do? When the child learns that one parent is the easy touch and one parent is the disciplinarian, what is the child going to learn? Yeah. So you have divide and conquer. And is he going to respect things? Now it's teaching him to be manipulative. Is that what we want to teach our child? And just think of how some of these things play into how we act when we're among brethren and claiming to want to serve the Lord together. If I grow up in a home where you don't really have to do what you're told and you can always cut a corner and always find some way to justify what you're doing and excuse yourself and everything else, if you keep that attitude, what kind of a Christian are you going to be with the Word of God probably?
Start looking for the loopholes.
Yeah, yeah. And if you grow up in a home where you learn to manipulate to get your way out of things, how's that person probably going to act in his church? And so the child training that we do, it's we're training them for the adults that they need to be. And so mom and dad need to be on the same page. And if they have different opinions, well, one thing, who's the head of the house? That's dad. Now, if dad has some ideas that are wrong, then like Peter before the Sanhedrin, mom needs to say, I'm going to obey God instead of you. But when it's on a different thing, he needs to be respected, but he also needs to be listening to his wife and understanding. And if they have different opinions, they can talk about it together. They can work out a compromise. They can listen to each other. And then he can make a decision, and then she will support that, and he can take into consideration what she said. But then to the child, there needs to be a combined thing. She needs to back up dad. Dad needs to back up mom. That's right. All right. Don't expect talents beyond their capacity. Most of you have been to a Little League game where there was a really, really obnoxious parent in the stands, right? You know, here's the children, and they're having a good time, and some of them are real good, some of them are mediocre, some of them are doing the best they can, but they're not going to be in the major leagues. It's not happening. There are some dads, and I wonder if, I think maybe sometimes this is what happens. You have a boy, and he loved baseball, and he was going to someday be, you know, in Major League Baseball. He was going to play baseball in high school, college, and then he wanted to be in Major League Baseball. Well, that didn't happen. He played baseball in high school, didn't make the college team. Nobody ever scouted him, and he's kind of a frustrated whatever he is now. And then one day, his wife has a baby, and the doctor says, it's a boy! And dad goes, you know, and it's like, this is now what he's going to run through. Well, what if he's not inclined to that? You know, maybe you want your child to be an opera singer, but they're tone deaf. You want him to be a middle linebacker, but he weighs 110 pounds soaking wet. Don't expect your first off, don't try to live through your children. But don't expect them to do things that they can't do. Some children are born with severe learning difficulties and disabilities or lack of limbs in different things. And so many times it's beautiful to see how well parents step up to that. But the parents who do it the best, while they understand what he or she is not going to accomplish, she's not going to be a Rhodes Scholar. He's not going to be an Olympic runner. But while they understand what they're not going to be able to do, they do understand what they're able to do, and they expect that. And that's going to be a happier child than if they're just coddled and not expected anything out of them. So expect what they can do, but if we expect them to accomplish some goal that we've got that is they're incapable of, that's going to be exasperating and frustrating. All right. There's our fluctuating boundaries with the cattle thing. All right, number 9. Yeah. Now you're going to get it. Yeah, and that comes back to that Proverbs, is it 13:24? He who spares the rod, hates the child. He who loves him, disciplines him diligently. So while we're disciplining, we need to remember and watch our motive, what our motive is. Our motive is not, I want some peace and quiet around here. When there needs to be peace and quiet, we can make that rule, and then they need to be punished if they're not. But it's like the other thing, when mom and Homer, when it gets to be peaceful, yes, that's great for mom, but it's better for Homer. That's the focus. You know, what does my child need? And when he needs to be disciplined, he needs to be disciplined, and the motivation, the primary motivation, is love. I want what's best for that child. All right, yes. Yes.
You know, the words, God has asked amateurs to do the most important thing.
Yeah.
Being Christian, raising kids, and you could illustrate the sermon on juries, even though God didn't do that. So we must have the attitude, we're an amateur, but we're learning.
A child can forgive a parent. And a child can enjoy when things get better. And a conversation, there may be after this weekend, you may want to have some conversation with a child and say, this is where we need things to change better. And if that's a conversation where they're understanding that, by the way, over the years, I guess I've done this series, I don't know, maybe 30-something times in different places. But one of the things that surprised me was how much kids like this series. The kids, a lot of times, are maybe being somewhere else so the parents can concentrate better. But when kids hear this, they relate to a whole lot of these things because it's like, and they know it. And there's a lot in kids, they want things better. And so having a conversation, say, here's what we're going to do. Here's mom's job and dad's job, and now your job is this. And one step up that, help them step up that. All right, real quick here, let's see if we can get another point or two here. I assume that was a 5-minute bell, or are we done, Bell? All right, real quick. Failing to parent with joy. Fruits of the Spirit. The first three are what? Love, joy, and peace. You can have a home where you've got a lot of rules. And by the way, when you're in somebody's home, respect the rules in that home. Not every home has the same rules. Not every home has to have the same rules. Some rules, it's no shoes in the house. If you go in that house, you better take your shoes off. If you want shoes in your house, fine. That's your house. Enforcing the rules that are there is better than how many rules you've got. If you've got 10 rules in a house and people respect them, that's better than 300 rules in the house and they're shifting and changing and not enforced. All right? But you can have a house where everybody's following the rules. And if somebody disobeys, there will be consequences. There's just no joy. Pass the peas. Thank you. You're welcome. Make sure you finish those peas. And you can sit there and say all the peas were eaten, but there's just no joy in that home. And there should be. Look at these passages. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, be intoxicated in her love. The father of the righteous will greatly
rejoice,
and he will have the
joy.
Let your father and mother be. Let her who gave birth to you. What kind of heart makes a cheerful face? But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. You ever seen people like that? You know, you'd think if they smiled, it would break their face. And a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than fattened ox served with hatred. Proverbs 13. The law of kindness is on her tongue of the worthy woman. And a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bone. Be firm. Be consistent. Disobedience, punish it. Have them apologize. Get that hug. Move forward. You know, failure in responsibilities, take away privileges. You know, have a firm, consistent home, but have happiness in that home. Have joy in that home. Don't, when your kids are being silly, your three-year-old's being silly, three-year-olds should be able to be silly. Be silly with them. Have fun with them. You know, don't miss out on the joy of children and them having joy. You'll have different routines in your home and stuff that you do. Little things. Some of you might remember growing up, just some real fondness growing up, either at your parents' or your grandparents' house, and something that was just so fun and enjoyable. Somebody that paid attention to you and did things with you. Our kids need those things. So while we're disciplining, while we're punishing, when punishment is needed, there needs to be a lot of fun and a lot of joy. Work needs to be done. Responsibilities need to be met. They need to have joy.
Part of the discipline is also positive reinforcement.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And even I'll throw this last one out there right now. Moms, instead of like, I cannot believe how, do you look at this mess right here? Look at all these, you would think that I'm the maid around here. I'm so sick and tired of you kids not picking up your stuff. And what are the kids doing? Now, you can warn them with punishment, but even that you can make a little bit game and you can be funny. You'd say, okay, boys, come here. Okay, all right, now I'm going to give you two choices. You see all those clothes right there? And you can say it with a smile. See all those clothes right there. All right, now here's your two choices. I can give both of you whippings, and then you're going to clean up that and the bathroom, or in 30 seconds, we're going to see how fast you boys can clean up all of this. Which would you rather do? 30 seconds? All right, go! And they're like, and they did it, and it's fun. It didn't need to be just fussing and nagging. The point's made. They enjoyed doing it. Have a joyful home. Thank you very much.